Welcome to Global Venture in Review, the weekly podcast of all the exciting action happening in the venturing ecosystem around governments, universities and corporations from our three publications here at Morsonia: Global Corporate Venturing, Global University Venturing and Global Government Venturing. My name's James Mawson, founder and editor-in-chief, and with me is my colleague Thierry Hillis. Hello.
Hello, Jim. It's good to be back again, two of us, finally.
It has felt a few weeks, hasn't it, Thierry? It's either been you doing it by yourself or me doing one or two. So it's nice to get the team back in action on that front. And sounds like it's been an exciting week. What's been going on?
It's been quite an exciting week indeed. Starting with funds, we've had one that's actually a nice crossover between the corporate and the government venturing world. There's Singaporean National Research Foundation that's committed match funding of 40 million Singaporean dollars, or about 30 million US dollars, to back local startups. And they've partnered with four corporates for that: DCloud, Capital Land, Vilma and YCH Group.
Mm. Well, it sounds very interesting. Funnily enough, this Singapore's National Research Foundation won the Global Government Venturing Award for a new program in January, which was a sort of honour, I think, for the scheme and for the system, because it was quite an exciting and innovative approach to take, where the government, through the NFRF, effectively said they would try and encourage corporates to think about doing more venturing and provide some of the money to help them develop and launch a fund. So it's kind of like a fund of funds, but it's a fund of corporate venture funds. And so it's a very interesting, innovative scheme. So it won the award, and now they finally announced, after doing a review, doing a request for proposals, who the winners of those scheme are. And they're interesting companies, because I don't think really any of them have been active in the venture space before. So I think with government backing, a bit of government money to help support it, we've actually got four new players entering in the venture scene at an interesting time. So we'll be hearing more from Singapore, Pauline Tay, who devised this scheme and ran it for the NRF and did the review, will be speaking at our Global Corporate Venturing Symposium next week in London. And so we'll be able to hear firsthand about, how many offers they had and why she chose those. But it's a very exciting start. So good. Sounds great. Any other funds happening last week?
We have not quite a fund, but Johnson & Johnson is adding yet another location to its J-Labs incubator network. And this is actually the first one that is opening in Canada, in Toronto, where it's working with the Mars Discovery District and kind of the whole Mars ecosystem, the government-backed commercialization firm.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's a great one. I think, it's the first one outside of the US for J&J. I think it's going to be very exciting. Funnily enough, it's two for two, actually. We're helping, as well as helping the Singapore government on an event they're doing in mid-September in Singapore. We're trying to attract some speakers and help develop their tech venture sort of ecosystem. So if any of our listeners to the podcast are interested in speaking in Singapore, please let us know. And we're also helping the Canadian government develop innovation venture event in Toronto, which will be 7th and 8th of September up there in Toronto, so just the other side of the Great Lakes from Chicago. I think J&J's expansion there really indicates quite how exciting the entrepreneurial ecosystem is in Canada. So anyone who's interested in speaking, think about Singapore and think on the other side of the world about Canada as well. So be a good opportunity in that fall season.
Nice. That's certainly be an interesting event there.
Well, hopefully. We're pretty excited there. Hopefully Justin Trudeau, who's the Prime Minister of Canada, is coming down, and the CEO of quite a few of the largest corporations, such as OpenText, already lined up to speak. So everything's shaped up to have a pretty sizable event for about 700 people down to speak.
Nice. Good number there.
Yes, should be good. Anything else on the funds front?
We have, funnily enough, we have another government corporate crossover. Invitalia Ventures, a Italian government-owned VC fund, has increased its Italia Venture 1 fund to $74.5 million, with the backing of the European Investment Fund already, but Cisco and MedTech have also thrown their weight behind it now.
Oh, that's really interesting. I think, the whole ecosystem, if you roll the clock back even 5 years ago, the anticipation so much of the concentration on venture capital was it required independent venture capital firms raising money from institutional LPs, the pension funds and banks and life assurers, in order to really fund the fast-growing entrepreneurs. And now, I think if you look around, the whole venture and innovation capital ecosystem is much more diverse and it's much stronger, I think. I think whereas we saw a bit of a wobble back end of last year, earlier this year, some of the independent VCs getting a bit concerned we've blown a froth off the sort of valuations, and some of the deal numbers came down. But actually, the sort of the wider support to the entrepreneurs and the innovation is still there. I think, you know, given corporates as LPs, given government support, given the entrepreneurs who are increasingly looking for people who can provide more than just cash, I think these types of funds and these types of announcements are very positive. It's quite late in the entrepreneurial and sort of ecosystem to be doing this. In terms of economically, it's quite late. This feeling is we're closer towards the end of this economic cycle than the start. So I think one of the key crunch points that will have to be seen by some of these funds is A, whether they will do deals. But secondly, you know, whether they're able to find good deals and then provide that support if and when there's the next downturn, because we're certainly later on in the ecosystem. And I think that will be one of the challenges for these types of funds, will be managing that. You know, and if you are a corporate LP, funnily enough, our third event that we talked on, it's just a coincidence how this has happened, is actually going to be in New York City. We're working with the US Trade Association, the National Venture Capital Association, to bring together corporate and other LPs, such as universities and governments, to meet the VCs and help back and develop them. So if you're interested in talking, it'll come along to that event. It will be in New York City in mid-October.
Nice, nice. Well, as you said, it's kind of, I think we've had another week now of 12 new players in the field. So it's kind of definitely not letting up. And if anything, it's increasing in new funds at the moment.
Yeah, it seems to. I mean, there's one that George Coyle, yeah, hasn't yet been properly reported. So I'll be a bit more discreet about this. But George Coyle, who recently left ConocoPhillips, has just raised $200 million for a debut fund. And he's already done a couple of deals. Yeah, he's looking to raise $250 million or so. So yeah, it's just phenomenal, that sort of pace and development of sort of new funds. But they're all coming from established quality players. So I think they're sort of, the omens are very good that if anyone could find the right deals and the right sort of investments, these people like Invitalia and sort of George can really do that.
Nice, nice. We've definitely had some very big ones as well. We've had Mitsubishi's partnered up with US venture capital firm called Geodesic Capital, and they've just closed a fund, the inaugural fund as well, at $335 million, which is quite an impressive, even for funds, it's a very big number there.
Oh, I mean, it's massive. I think they've got some backing from a few other corporates. They've got Nikon, sort of Mitsubishi Heavy Industries, as well as, you know, just the sort of financial services part of Mitsubishi, and then they've got other sort of connected parts of the ecosystem within Japan. And I think the fact that they've got Sompo Japan, an insurance firm, and, you know, Sumitomo Mitsui Banking and others, as well as the government through the Development Bank of Japan, I think it really shows how whole ecosystems can come together to support a new firm. But like you say, $335 million is just a massive, really, as a debut fund, I suppose.
Yeah, definitely. We've also had United Media that's committing $305 million to the Meridian Capital China Fund. It seems to be the week of big numbers.
It really does. I think there's a lot going on in China in particular. If you look at, you know, while the deal activity noticeably slowed in the US, particularly for large later stage rounds in China, they broadly continued. And, you know, these types of quite large funds, particularly from listed firms, setting up a sort of venture capital private equity unit has really exploded. It's been about 50 or so over the past year or so.
That's quite impressive. Like, on average, one a week. That's kind of insane.
Yes. And I think it's all increased as well. So, yeah, that's good.
Well, we've had, maybe just run through a couple more. We've had Intesa Sanpaolo that's partnered Quadrivio for a $135 million fund. Again, Italy there. It seems to be the place where stuff is happening at the moment. And then Liberty Mutual has partnered one of its portfolio companies, I think, August Home, for a $150 million fund, the same as eVentures, a Germany-based venture capital firm that's backed by e-commerce group Otto Group, with also $150 million in early stage funding. That came together quite quickly because I think at the beginning of the week, they only had about half of that capital. So quite efficient fundraising on their part there.
Yeah, no, I think eVentures quite an interesting group, actually. Like you say, it's been backed by Otto Group. But what I find interesting is They've been around a while. They've been around nearly getting on for 20 years now, but they've really been one of the few venture capital firms that's trying to have a truly global approach to offices all the way from sort of Beijing and Tokyo through Moscow, obviously in sort of Berlin, Germany, and then across into San Francisco and down in Sao Paulo in Brazil. And Sao Paulo actually really dominates the venture capital ecosystem in the whole of Latin America. So it's if you look at the numbers, it's kind of far paces almost the rest of Latin America, excluding parts of Mexico. I think Mexico is so close to the US that it picks up quite a lot. But compared to the rest of actual South America, it's Sao Paulo is a really interesting place. We did our first event there with the government in October, and we're doing the next, we're doing a 3-year program to help them develop over the next couple of years. And I think Brazil really sort of opened my eyes to just the sophistication and excitement of some of the entrepreneurs down there. So it was fascinating, actually. So although the impeachment process of the president is an interesting backdrop if you're an entrepreneur, actually, in terms of what the opportunity set is, it's interesting, I would say. And so, again, if people are interested in speaking in Sao Paulo, in Brazil, then do let us know.
Awesome. We've also actually had two actually completely new corporate venturing units. There's Kaspersky, I'm not quite sure how to pronounce it, the antivirus cybersecurity software provider that is going to invest, I think, up to $1 million in startups, kind of focusing on mobile, cloud security, that kind of their sort of sector anyway.
Mm-hmm.
And then Caterpillar Ventures with, I didn't realize they had a corporate venturing arm, but the construction equipment producer Caterpillar have provided an undisclosed amount to a firm in Switzerland called Emerald Technology Ventures. So kind of interesting there. Like, do you know anything about whether they have invested in the past or?
Yeah, I mean, it's a relatively new team for Caterpillar. They came and gave some insights to their previous Global Corporate Venturing event. That was quite fascinating. And obviously, they've subscribed to the magazine to really help them develop best practices. But yeah, no, they're an interesting one. What I find quite interesting about the Emeralds fund in particular is that it's actually an evergreen structure. So rather than being a classic LP in a limited life, limited liability partnership, of sort of 10, 12 years or so, this is an opportunity for them to do deals with a set amount of money. But then as returns come, they can then carry on and do more deals. From Emerald's point of view, that's great. It's a sort of recurring stream of revenues for them to sort of pay their partners. But from a strategic point of view, it means that hopefully the firm fund can develop and add insights over a longer period of time. Emerald's had quite a few corporate LPs such as Doosan from Korea, Michelin, ABB, Clariant, Ecolab, Evonik, JSR, Marley, Cibolco, SK Group, and Sulzer and Suncor. So they've obviously got a great track record of working with corporate LPs, but this fund structure is quite a new one. And then Kaspersky is coming and talking at the symposium next week, and they'll be providing a bit of a panel discussion on that.
Nice. That should certainly be an interesting talk there. On the university side then, I think we're back in Asia there. We have another impressive number there with $300 million for the Peking University-controlled group called Founders Group that's co-managing a fund with Korea Investment Partners. And it will basically use, the fund will basically use its connection to the university to kind of source deals and identify possible startups, specifically in the medical sciences, kind of emerging healthcare technology fields.
Okay, that sounds very exciting. And you're into, like you say, another big fund.
Let's move on to people then. I think it's only been People Moves on corporate this week, where we had Marcos Battisti, who's leaving Intel Capital.
Yeah, I think news is just starting to come out now, but there's been a series of transitions at Intel Capital after Arvind Sadani left, having been president at the start of this year. He was replaced by Wendell Brooks, and they've been looking to sort of review the strategy and sort of take different approaches. But Marcus ran Western Europe and Israel for Intel Capital, so a very senior figure, had done a lot of deals over the past 10 years or so, and was one of their vice presidents. So it's quite a big departure, and Intel, I think, come to it in part of the exit stream, but they've been reviewing their portfolio and even been considering groups that might want to do a secondary buyout of part of their portfolio. So a little bit of change happening at Intel Capital, but Marcus's departures, we've had a few in Asia and we've had a few others, but that's quite a senior level of departure.
Interesting. Interesting. Well, it'll be certainly interesting to see what Intel Capital has kind of turned itself into with all the changes, as you said, who they might bring on board to replace them.
Definitely. I think it'd be interesting to catch up and learn more. We've got Intel Capital speaking at the symposium next week and find out what their strategy is going forward.
Nice. And then we've also had Jason Spinhal, who's actually been hired by the messaging platform Slack to manage its own corporate venturing fund called Slack Fund, which is only launched in December 2015, I think.
Yeah, no, he's quite a good hire, I think, for Slack. I mean, Slack's been one of the hugely sort of popular sort of so-called unicorns, companies valued more than $1 billion. It's had quite a bit of venture backing, but people really like it. The fact that it's so nascent, still private, and already developing quite a large corporate venturing fund itself. It was really interesting. Spinhal came from Undercurrent, a sort of a consulting firm, really, that sort of closed last year. But a couple of its portfolio companies that it had also backed as part of that consultancy work had some pretty interesting exits. So I think that was what particularly attracted Slack to Jason.
And then we have Bernhard Gold, who's left Deutsche Telekom's T-Venture to go and join venture capital firm in France called Iris Capital as its managing director for North America, which I think Iris Capital is also corporate-backed, unless I'm kind of mistaken.
No, you're spot on. I mean, they're an independent venture capital firm, but they've got quite a good, strong sort of strategic support network. They manage a specific fund for Saudi Telecom, and they've obviously done quite a work with other corporate LPs. So they've been a very strong France-based VC firm that has been expanded. But to hire in someone of the caliber of Bernhard to run its North American office, I think is an excellent sort of addition. T-Venture had some phenomenally successful deals a few years ago, lots of exits, and they've been going under quite a bit of transition themselves, actually. They've created Deutsche Telekom Strategic Investments as well as Deutsche Telekom Capital Partners, and so it's been a bit of change. A few people have left, and they've just hired Jack Young from Qualcomm Ventures to run, in effect, their US office. So Bernhard's left and joined Iris. So all change on that side of things.
Interesting. Well, it's also kind of talking about change is kind of interesting. Also with deals, moving on to that, Apple has decided to make a move into the ride-sharing app, kind of an industry where a lot of people thought Apple would work on its own driverless cars, and now it's kind of moving into Didi shooting and taking on Uber indirectly, or directly even.
Yeah, I mean, it's fascinating. Uber China's been raising money separately to Uber, and then sort of the Didi Chuxing deal with Apple's great. And then Lyft obviously has a strategic partner and investment with General Motors. So then with Tesla and sort of obviously Google sort of also looking at the space, I think that driverless cars automation is just going to be a real catfight over the next few years to see which one potentially not just gets regional dominance, but potentially goes for global dominance. I think there's a huge amount of change. I think the work of John Lautner, particularly over General Motors, in terms of identifying the strategic impact, was pretty far forward thinking, and Apple spending a fair chunk of change, $1 billion for a 5% stake in a private company is indicative of what ride sharing as an app might bring to the hardware that it could potentially do as it develops out its own riderless car. So amazing big deal. I think Rob Levine has covered it quite extensively in this week's Big Deal.
Yeah, he has, which is a very good read for anyone who hasn't read that yet. I do recommend checking that out. And then we're kind of staying in Asia for the second biggest deal of the week, where Taobao Movie, which is an online ticketing subsidiary of Alibaba Pictures, has attracted $260 million in Series A funding from, among others, Ant Financial, the financial services affiliate of Alibaba, and Sina Corp, the social media platform. So again, massive numbers there.
Yeah, I mean, that's just the Series A round. One of the interesting things is looking at the size of those deals happening in China. There's funny enough, we're doing our global corporate venture and power list And you know, the sort of the rise of some of the China-based corporate venturing units and the people who lead those up the power list ranking over the past few years is really very impressive. But one of the things that really caught my eye was one of the quotes from Charles Searle, who ran Naspers. They backed Tencent, which is worth nearly $200 billion or so now. So they still were a third of that stake, which they bought for about $30 million, a little more than 10 years ago now. So that's a pretty good, you know, IRR and return on investment from a corporate venturing deal to really help push Naspers up in terms of their success. But what Charles was saying was that this era of real startups being able to find positions and grow rapidly in the sort of the internet or, you know, some of these spaces, you know, it's not quite over, but effectively it's become a real deep pocket game. You either have to be, you know, an entrepreneur that's able to find a niche and then raise money really quickly in the way that some of, you know, an Uber, for example, has been able to do on the back of the momentum that you've been able to show and raise, you know, more than $1 billion. Or you're sort of deep-pocketed corporate like Apple with Didi Chuxing, you know, which comes in, provides that money and helps their own development. But, you know, but I think Tencent alone, the value, just the value of their minority stakes in some of the listed firms that have since published is $15 billion. And that's effectively from nothing 4 or 5 years ago. So they've just used the deep pockets from the free cash flow that their own products have been able to do and turn that to trying to find the entrepreneurs and third-party companies that can help them scale in that ecosystem. It's just a phenomenal sort of change. I don't think the world's ever seen the like before what's been happening in China over these past 4 or 5 years, particularly through corporate venturing. And that will be reflected in next week's GCB Power List. So well worth a read. It's 120 pages of good fun and excitement.
That's quite impressive. From nothing to 15 billion. James, we're in the wrong career.
Well, we have the pleasure of being able to see what these people are doing, so it feels like we might be living it vicariously, Thierry, but we're certainly in a privileged seat to be able to see some of the amazing activity that these folks are doing.
That's very true. Well, we've had, almost depressingly, the third biggest deal of the week on global corporate venturing is a very distant $88 million in Series A funding for for the panel display technology developer Cativa, that's attracted cash from Samsung's Venture Investment Corporation and TCL Capital, the subsidiary of the conglomerate. And I think also BOE Technology Group and semiconductor company Vico Instruments.
Yeah, an interesting one. I mean, if anyone said a flat panel display technology, here's a ripe space for entrepreneurs, I think most people would fall about laughing. I think it's been a pretty black hole in terms of TV production and display monitoring, sort of, you know, for a lot of big corporations, think Sony and Sharp and various others. So, you know, the fact that this entrepreneurial company, Cativa, is able to raise a pretty large $88 million Series E round. So they've gone through 4 or 5 other, you know, rounds before, depending on how you count the seed and Series A round. And they're still going and they're still getting increasing amounts of money. And the fact that the corporates such as Samsung, which effectively is one of the largest TV manufacturers now in terms of flat panel displays, you know, I think it really shows that they have something pretty impressive there. So, you know, it just shows that it doesn't matter on the field. It might have some pretty big players and it might be a black pit of loss making for a lot of groups. But actually, if you do come up with a good idea, there is still plenty of venture money out there. So an interesting one to keep an eye on, that Cativa, I think.
Definitely. I think another interesting one is Personal Capital, the digital wealth fund manager that's raised, I think, $75 million in funding. Although they've already got IGM that's invested $50 million now, committing to investing another $25 million in 2017. So already guaranteed capital for next year there.
Yeah, it's an interesting model. I mean, we see it a lot in, particularly in healthcare, where you get milestone-based payments. You say, okay, here's your Series B. It might be $50 million, but it'll be tranched depending on how it reaches milestones and what the performance of the molecules or the drugs or whatever it might be in healthcare that they're looking to do. And, you know, if they hit that, then the venture capitals have in effect said it will give you the money at that point so you can continue doing your clinical trials and working through the process of getting regulatory approval for bringing out your drug or treatment or whatever it might be. You know, and so it's quite interesting that in a slightly different space, obviously wealth management, that they're doing that sort of bit of trial. expansion, and you know that Personal Capital already has backing from a couple of pretty big strategic investors in BBVA, a Spain-based bank, and USAA, the automobile sort of insurance and sort of wealth manager, particularly for army folks, people coming out of the army and providing personal management from there. So that Personal Capital has got a tranched sum from IGM Financial, part of Power Financial Corp, is interesting, and it's got some pretty heavy backing. But it really is the case that software and digital is eating the world. All industries, doesn't matter whether you're flat panels or personal wealth managers or automotives, you know, everything is really up for grabs, it feels like, at the moment. If you've got a deep enough pocket and a good enough idea, then you can really go after some pretty big sized industries. But obviously, for that flow of money to happen, it requires some exits to come through at some point, and strategic insights is one thing, but getting cash back certainly does help. What are we seeing on that side of things, Gary?
We have Intel, again, who you mentioned earlier, is trying to exit about $1 billion worth of their investments, and they've had an interest from a couple of private equity firms, Collier Capital, Harbourvest Partners, and Lexington Partners, that have come forward now and asked for more details about the respective startups.
Definitely one of the big secondaries. You sometimes see secondaries right coming out at the end of an end of financial crisis, as you know, people review and coming out. So the fact that Intel's, you know, onto its new President Wendell Brooks is looking at whether it can deliver value back and have a more focused portfolio through secondaries, I think it's quite an interesting timing, actually. I think if the venture market became more liquid in terms of people buying and selling stakes, not just through the next round and being diluted or increasing your shares, then I think that's all to the good. The venture market certainly should be big enough to hold fairly advanced new secondary portfolios and transactions to provide more liquidity. So it's definitely a good one. And I think we've seen Intel actually sell a specific stake, though, so nothing to do with the secondaries, this billion, but they've sold a stake in Intrasoft, is that right?
Yeah, they sold 5.1% stake in Intrasoft, which is an e-commerce company based in India, if I'm not mistaken now.
Well, let's say it's a half stake in Intrasoft. And so, I think they held that for nearly 10 years. So that's a good run to hold a company, I think.
Definitely. And then over in China, Online Education Group has actually had a perhaps more celebratory exit, in that they're an English language learning platform. They filed for a $100 million IPO in the US after raising about $58 million from people including Yuan Entertainment.
Hats off to them if they can get away. It's only been, I think, one or two tech or sort of venture-backed IPOs in the US, not really any from China for a little while. So if they can get that one away at that sort of level of raising, that would be pretty impressive, actually. Maybe even be a spur to get the market going, I suppose.
Yeah. Yeah, we could always do with more IPOs this year. It's been fairly slow still.
It's been slow on trade sales and slow on IPOs. So, whereas the number of venture deals still ticks along, I think the sort of rate is still a little bit down from this time last year. But actually, it's still obviously massively more deals happening than exits that are publicised. Yeah, hopefully it will continue, but I think we'll get much more of a sense of where the ecosystem is next week at the Global Corporate Venture Symposium. We'll look forward to catching up with all our listeners and readers there then.
That should be good fun.
Cool. So we'll catch up there too, Joe. For those who are interested in speaking at any events, you can get a hold of me at jmawson, JMAWSON, at globalcorporateventuring.com. Thanks very much.
Bye.
Global Venturing Review was produced by In Ear Production. You can find out more by going to inearproduction.com.